Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Regional Roundup.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. We're going to turn our attention now to headlines out of the Southeast Asian region. We'll talk about former Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak not divulging a meeting with the Saudi king, to MACC investigators, to Myanmar's former state councillor Aung San Suu Kyi, as well as President Win Myint reportedly moving out of jail to house arrest last week. What are the implications of these headlines? On the line with me is Dr. Felix Tan, an independent political observer. Dr. Felix, good afternoon. How are you?
A very good afternoon here, Elliot. I'm good.
All right, Doc, let's start off with the hot waters in Malaysia that involves the former Prime Minister Najib Razak not divulging this meeting with the Saudi king. He's supposed to tell all of this to the MACC investigators. What was this meeting all about, though?
Now, I think at this point in time, there really isn't much information that can be gleaned from this revelation. It's almost a case of, I would put it, he said, she said sort of situation. But I think what is known, though, and what has been reported so far, is that this meeting was held in sometime in 2010, in January. And, well, it seems like Najib actually met up with the Saudi king, Abdullah, and also with some other individuals within the Malaysian government as well. Not least, I think, the former Malaysian ambassador to Saudi Arabia and a few other ministers. So I think that's all we have in terms of the details. It's not being revealed what else transpired in the meeting.
So it's interesting, right? Because you have this meeting and then there seems to be a bit of a big deal being made about it. One can't help but speculate the possible relations to that 1MDB case.
I think there was a huge case at the trial, you know, where he actually said the money that he received in his personal bank account came from a Saudi king or Saudi prince, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that became part of the investigation, which didn't make any headways. So, but I don't think that, you know, at this point in time, it would really change much. Perhaps only to vouch for Najib's character, if there's any, that there was really nothing that he was hiding from. Because I think the accusations that, you know, King Abdullah decided to transfer certain monetary aid to Najib personal bank account instead of a political organization, like, for example, UMNO, you know, to after a private chat. So I think that is so far the information that we have gotten. But beyond that, nothing.
Okay. All right. Now, does this potentially affect Najib's bid to serve the remainder of his 6-year jail sentence under house arrest?
Yeah.
We've talked about this, like this wish list, and things seem to be going well. We've speculated, is he pushing his luck? And now we've got this.
Yeah, I think you took the words right out of my mouth. It's really pushing his luck. I mean, he has been serving his jail time for a couple of years now, and, you know, things have changed. He's just hoping again, you know, that the remainder of his 6-year jail term would be, you know, a house arrest so that he can go back home, be at home, and, you know, settle down to, in the comfort of his homely abode, wherever it might be. So I think, is this pushing his luck, you know, and, you know, maybe, perhaps, the pardon board will be able to grant him that wish.
Oh, well, hang on. So talking about granting him that wish, I see, okay, I can understand those aspects. I can even think from a legal point of view how that could be argued. Now, in terms of optics, though, does this put the current government, and this is Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim's government, does it put them on the spot? Does it put them in an awkward corner in that sense? Because he is talking about fighting corruption.
Yeah, indeed. I think that came out as one of the, you know, one of the points, salient point, in fact. I think Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim has so far refused to be drawn into this debacle, you know, that Najib is trying to serve his remainder of his 6-year jail term under house arrest. But I think any decisions will put Anwar's unity government in sort of a catch-22 dilemma. But on the one hand, if the government, is this unity government, is serious about combating corruption, then not pardoning Najib might actually demonstrate their resolve that they are serious about it. But on the other hand, by giving in to Najib, you know, it might also demonstrate that the government still need to play what are called old politics in Malaysia.
Okay.
Because after all, you know, there is a, UMNO is an ally at this point in time. So, you know, I do not think that Anwar might want to, you know, create more trouble within his unity government. So I think he's in a situation where how best to balance between the need to combat corruption and the need to keep his allies in check.
And that's the thing, right? For the news readers, it's very easy to point out, no, you should just be straight, the line is this way. But for the political observers and analysts like you and me, we're going, well, there are the other soft skills that are needed. And I'm trying to find the nicest word here. If you had to do the teacher thing and give him a grade on how he's fared in his anti-corruption battle and balancing all of this other cultural issues, let's put it that way, how do you think he's fared?
I think he has, I mean, his track record so far has been rather inconsistent, if I would have to put it that way. Yeah. You know, there is always this attempt to fight corruption, and then he'll go through a process of fighting, or seemingly fighting corruption. But then after that, you have cases like Najib, and then, you know, there's a U-turn at all, you know, kind of like, you know, go under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, so it seems as though that, you know, he's not really serious, because he has to really balance between the needs of having the support from these sort of allies and also fighting corruption at the same time. But, you know, I think, you know, if we look and compare with Singapore, it's very different, because Singapore is very clear-cut. It's very matter-of-fact.
Yeah.
You do this, you'll be arrested, then a story. You know, you'll be charged and caught. But I think, you know, Anwar has also tried to maneuver this situation.
Yeah, yeah.
We also have to understand that at the end of the day, the decision to grant Najib or not rests at the pardons board meeting that, you know, Anwar may not or may have recused himself from as well. He's not part of it.
Yeah.
And the final decision is by the young Di Pertuan Agong, you know, who will be at the meeting. So, in a way, it's not the Prime Minister that decides. It's really, you know, above and beyond him that decides.
Yeah, to make it as clean and non-biased as possible, at least on the optics front, because you'll have people like us talking about it. And just to emphasize or to expand on that a little bit, right? I mean, I know you talked about Anwar and the need to balance, putting it that way. His reform agenda, you know, a lot of people have thrown criticisms on it, have talked about his battle with corruption. What is your take on exactly where Anwar is right now? Is it really a case, and let's be frank about this, maybe he has to spend a lot of time with the subliminal messaging, keep on emphasizing fight against corruption before we can really see the hard decisions being made?
I think at this point in time is that he has been voted into power. He has been, you know, assigned his unity government, you know, because many believe in Anwar's narrative or, you know, the rhetoric about wanting to correct what is wrong, you know, to combat corruption. So there is a lot of expectation from the people, from the Malaysian community, for this unity government to do what it has promised to do as well. So I think in a way that, you know, he's still pressing the point that he's there to complete his term and to fight for the cause that he has been voted into power for, and that was what is his agenda all along. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, along the way, there will always be, you know, these sort of pockets of, you know, decisions that he has to make, because to, you know, to allay his supporters, he will probably need to have a little bit of give and take. But I'm not too sure in this case he is able to do that, because I think a Najib trial or even, you know, bit is creating a lot of discussion in Malaysia.
Yeah. Doctor, this next issue, I'm at your mercy because it comes to pronunciations of certain names. I know Aung San Suu Kyi, Myanmar's former state councillor. Now, she and prison Win Myint, if I'm pronouncing that right, recently moved out of jail to house arrest. Okay, I know you're going to correct me, of course.
No.
but talking about Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi moving out of prison, this is quite significant. Although it feels a bit deja vu, I feel we're back to square one here.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything significant. At this point in time, I think what the military wants to do is that it's very practical, right? It's in a losing battle. I think we have to see, no crystal balls here, but I think, you know, it seems as if the military is losing its battles at border territories, you know, with ethnic groups. So I think, you know, by moving Aung San Suu Kyi out of prison into a sort of a house arrest, I think the military wants to be seen as if they're doing something good, being magnanimous, but they are anything but that. And I think people are not buying that sort of moves that the military is doing. So, you know, as far as it is, the military is hanging on to power through a series of fear and reprisals.
So this military is confusing me. The messaging last week with all the losing of battles on the border with the rebels, right, was that, okay, fine, we're not that strong here. We've got stronger areas in the central parts. No issue. And then they go and pull off this move to try and, well, in our discussion, seemingly look good. So maybe they really are under a lot of pressure. They're just doing the typical not talking about it.
Well, I think it's a good distraction for the military as
okay,
well.
Okay, yeah, good one.
Definitely, for sure. You are losing on one side. Let's distract the people and say that, you see, I'm actually winning. I'm helping all of you. I'm making, you know, I'm letting, you know, your icon, your democracy icon out of prison, putting her into house arrest. You know, she's got comfort of her own home to rest, you know, and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, it's just an attempt to distract people and hoping that the people will buy this narrative, buy whatever they are doing. But I think, you know, there is this idea that people are disillusioned with the military. They do not want the military. And I think that is the bottom line.
With that in mind, and putting that aside about this whole distraction, I guess what we're implying is that the people are a lot smarter than that. What do these moves significantly mean for, you know, the people of Myanmar?
I don't think there will be any significant changes.
Okay.
You know, at the end of the day, the military is still in charge of the political landscape in Myanmar. And, you know, through the many interactions I've had with the people there, at the end of the day, the military has weapons. The citizens don't have that sort of resources, that sort of, you know, whatever they have, you know, to fight against a very strong, well, in a way, you know, a stronger kind of organization. So I think, you know, many of them are resigned to the current situation, unless there's a, you know, some miracle that might happen, you know, within the military, that, you know, the certain leaders are being overthrown.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see a new generation of leaders within the military who are more in tune towards democracy. But I highly doubt that that's the case, because years of being under the military has created an organization that is very inward looking and can only see that they are the solution to all problems in the country.
Are we in a holding pattern then?
I think it's just keeping the status quo.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That they are not willing to change. They are not willing to make any allowances, despite how the international community has commented on the situation there. And also, to be fair, the international community doesn't seem to have that penchant for to get themselves involved in
ASEAN
Myanmar.
In particular, because of the calls that have been made.
And I think there will be a meeting, you know, of ASEAN top diplomat in Laos this coming July. And I think the question of Aung San Suu Kyi will come up again, and whether, you know, they can implement the 5-point plan in Myanmar, which is going to be moot, I would say.
Dr. Felix Tan, independent political observer, my guest this afternoon. Dr. Felix, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.